Glad for all the good news today. A lot of faith-building expressions there, especially in that Bible passage. Also, the wonderful songs. Thank you all. Praising God, help us know Him better that way. And next couple sermons, 4 or 5 or more, about prayer. What a gift from God that He gives us, you know. Gives it to us when we're very young people, also young Christians. And probably the last thought we'll have before we go to heaven is going to be some kind of prayer. Oh, Lord, thank you. Or Lord, have mercy. You know, Jesus prayed right before He passed on. He said, into your hands I commit my spirit. That's a good prayer to pray every day. And maybe that'll be your last prayer too, before you see Him. But it's a wonderful gift. And when you look at prayer in the Bible, one thing we don't want to do is just make it like a massive guilt condemnation experience. That we didn't talk to God enough, we didn't pray enough, and so we should feel bad and change our ways with greater effort. If you have a kind of relationship with anybody and they harp on you about you didn't talk to me enough, you didn't say anything good about me and all that, guess what? You may be right, but I'm not going to start now. They just didn't invite you into their mercy and into their fellowship and friendship. The Lord brings conviction, so we change. But He doesn't beat us up about the prayer thing. That's hard to avoid. So have mercy on yourself when we see prayer in the Bible, and have mercy on other people around you, okay? So you don't miss the point of the gift of prayer. But before we learn to speak, and before we were able to say anything coherently, and sometimes that continues, but with the Lord, He gives us the gift of prayer when we're real, real little. And apparently children pray to the honor of God. And not only children, but infants. So I would guess, like little Adam, you know, when he cries out for food, he's not just crying out for food to whoever's around him, but he's somehow saying, Lord, God, I need food. God's word says, from the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. So we've been talking to God for a real long time. I like this verse. Jesus quoted this verse. I like this verse because it points out that our prayer life is not based on how smart we are. It's not based on how much Bible we know. Okay? It's not based on, you know, some place we need to be in. It's based on the gift of God and the open door that Jesus is, so that we might know Him and pray to Him. So, from the lips of children and infants, God has ordained praise. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. That's part of that psalm. So, no words yet, but prayer and praises. Maybe you're doing that. Maybe your prayer life is silent. You know, just looking to God and saying, no coherent syllables or words. Just crying out for help or deep words of thanks. I've been in situations where I'm so thankful I just cry. I don't say any words. You ever been so choked up that you can't say nothing? But your crying means you're so happy. That's your prayer to God. So prayer, a wonderful gift. Don't be afraid to pray that way in addition to your excellent verbosity in prayer, if you're one of those. We are thankful for that. Now, everybody prays. Some pray to false gods. That gets you nowhere. You're talking to no one. Some pray to themselves. That's not good. Kind of pump up yourself in that way. And many pray to the one true God. That's what Jesus invites and makes possible. But somebody said, you must pray. That's part of being human. God puts like a gift of instinct in your soul to say, I got to talk to God. You may not even know the word God or Jesus. But I need help from somebody somewhere, some higher power. And we know that's Jesus for sure. He's the only high power. But as the speaker said, people cry out to God. That's good. Most of the time our prayers are silent. That's certainly in my case. But what is silent on earth is loud in heaven. Okay, so what you whisper or what you say in your soul to God means a lot to heaven. He loves to hear from His children, just like you love to hear from your loved ones. And it's a wonderful thing. God gives us the warning and the rebuke in the Bible. He says, for the atheist or the guy who doesn't believe in God, in all his thoughts, there is no room for God. In other words, I did a lot, but I just didn't talk to God. He wasn't on my mind. I didn't, you know, sense Him or get under His leadership. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. And so that's a great sin we can repent from. I've also been in houses and in own relationship when we're at odd with one another in, say, home life. You know, sometimes you just say, well, I'm not going to talk to that person for a while. And sometimes a while turns into a day and, you know, sad longer. I've known couples living in the same residence. They don't talk to each other for weeks. How sad. Sad, too, when God's people living in His presence all the time we're not going to talk to Him right now. You know, we're going to not include Him in what we're doing. That's a sad thing. Also a sad thing in a church family when brothers and sisters don't talk to one another. That's very awkward. God wants to break that wall down. In a similar manner, break the wall down between us and the Lord, which He does through Jesus. Jesus is really that open door of prayer. All other ways are not important, not sufficient. We as Christians, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, talk about some of our Christian superstitions in prayer. We all have them. A Christian superstition is anything besides Jesus that you think is necessary for you to be heard and for you to get some kind of an answer. Okay. If you're not looking at the Lord, we're looking in the wrong place. Okay, so sometimes anything from the way I pray to how long I pray to, you know, my specific things in prayer to could be anything. Well, I got to get at least 12 people to pray with me. If it's not going to help, it's not going to work. I got to get some holy water on me, or whatever the case may be. If Jesus is not the way to talk to God, forget it. You're looking at the wrong. You have no chapter and verse for it. Okay, so keep your eyes on the Lord. He's a good Savior. He can put your hand into the hand of the Father. Prayer, Timothy Keller said, means we're not alone in the universe. Thank the Lord, and we're not meant to go it alone. He offers friendship to us, relationship. When I was 18, few songs about prayer that I learned. One was, Lord, listen to your children praying. Send your spirit to this place. Lord, listen to your children praying. Send us love. Send us power. Send us grace. I find that fairly biblical in its resource. That when I did pray, and when people prayed, there was love. We felt very loved by God. There was power. Lives were changed. And there was grace. We felt like, well, God was a wonderful gift to us. You know, He was going to help us overcome. Send us love, send us power, send us grace. That's good. God will do that in prayer for you. Another old-time song learned early. It's me. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. In other words, I need to pray. And I hope others are praying for me. Not my brother and my sister. You know, I could spend, usually when I think of prayer, I think, well, why don't these other people pray more, you know? In the meantime, God's saying, I'm talking to you so that you would pray. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need to pray and standing in the need of others praying for us. That's a gift also. So prayer, a wonderful thing. God makes a big deal about it. There's a lot of momentum from heaven in prayer. O God, you who hear prayer, to you all men will come. To either say, Jesus is my Lord, or to say, I rejected you in life and I reject you forever. But people will talk to the Lord sooner or later. King David, I do want to mention this before we get to Psalm 63. In the Bible, 600 times, God invites prayer. About another 400, he encourages praise and song. I love it when people sing, because it's like a testimony or a prayer to God. I love it when the individuals sing, choir sing, and I love it when you sing, because you're praying to God at that time. Okay, and even again, if it's quiet, silent, that's good. God hears the heart. So praying is a wonderful gift. David here, he gets excited about prayer. He says, O God, you are my God, earnestly and early I seek you. Depending on which Bible you have, it's the earnest means my heart's in it. Early means that's going to be the first thing on my mind, the Lord. So early and earnestly I seek God. David was doing that. The context of this psalm is that he is being chased by folks who are overthrowing his kingdom as he is king, and overthrown by his dear son Absalom, who he loved. So there was pain in his life. He's losing his job. He's losing his family. Great pain. Yet he says, O God, you are my God. Earnestly and early I seek you. Early. Talk to God in the morning. Jesus did that. David did that. If it takes you a shower and coffee and, you know, five laps around the house, do that. But you could pray earnestly. First thing, when in the morning I pray for my family and for folks in big trouble. And I use a prayer that Jesus prayed. I don't use it, but I use same words. I say his words. And it's, Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit. So I want the day to be with God. And then I say, Lord, I go through my family. Into Regina's hand. Into your hands I commit Regina's spirit. And then, Lord, David and Sean, into your hands I commit their spirit. And then the people who are in trouble. And it's a good way to start the day. I feel like, okay, now I know who to follow. You know, if I follow the Lord, he'll keep me close when I wander off. And so, David, early I seek you. Early let us seek your favor. Early let us do your will. That's an old song. Seminary professor B.B. Warfield wanted his students to pray. And he pounded on them academically all the time, you know, over assigned things and so forth. He said, hey, if you really want to know God, in spite of all your responsibilities, 10 minutes in prayer will do you more than 10 hours in your books. Okay? And he wanted them to get into the books. Get in the books. Be responsible. You know, read. Do word studies. Do, what's this say in the Hebrew, the Greek, the Aramaic, the English, the, you know, NIV, ESV, KJV. You can spend a lot of time. That's important to know God like that. He said, 10 minutes with God in prayer. I know the Lord. It's like heart to heart. Your 3.5-pound brain might get in the way if you just study, study, study. You study while you're praying. That's a good thing. It's not against study. It's pro-prayer. So David said, early let me seek your favor. And then he says, I've seen you, Lord, in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Now, he was away from the sanctuary, but he remembered it was good to be close to God with his people. And you could say that too, you know. What David's saying here in our language is, Lord, I saw you in church. I saw you in church. It's a motive to gather. And you make that a highlight of your day. What do you think the Lord thinks about when he thinks of church? You think he thinks about the sermon first? I do. You think he thinks about the music first? When they do, we're thankful. No. There's a preparation, but it's a praise to God. Do you think he thinks about, I don't know, what you're wearing, you know? Or when God thinks about the gathered church, his house, he thinks about prayer. My gathered people, they're going to talk to me. And I'm going to talk to them. His house will be a house of prayer. So make that something a part of your, you know, Sunday gathering, Sunday go-to-meeting experience. I'm going to church because I like to pray to God throughout the whole time. And occasionally I listen to the sermon. I really listen to the scripture. My heart joins in to the music to praise God. But it's really, that was like an hour of prayer. It really was. And God, he loves that, talking to him heart to heart. I remember you in the sanctuary. And then David starts remembering how great God is. How can I not talk to him? His love is better than life. The word love, a big deal word in the Old Testament. Steadfast love, unfailing love, covenant, can't get any closer than this love. God's commitment to his broken children, better than life. And he's our help. His right hand upholds us. Okay, so when those storms come, David wasn't dancing on the rock yet, but the storm wasn't going to overwhelm him. At the end of the psalm, he says, the king will rejoice in God. You can say that in the biggest trial you're in. You know, you say, well, I'm not rejoicing in God now, but someday I will rejoice in God. And that's what David felt. He's running for his life, scared as a rabbit being threatened. But Lord, your right hand upholds me. And then he's excited about the Lord. My soul clings to you. The word cling, I guess, related to what Jesus experienced when that lady really wanted to talk to him. She had been sick for 17 years. And so she sees Jesus. She gets her way through the crowd and she gets a hold of his cloak and clings to him. So when you pray, you know, it's like you holding on to God. Yeah, I'm Lord, this is how close I want to be with you. Some of you do that in the hallway. Somebody's going by, hey, come here for a minute. I got to talk to you. It's a, you know, you do because of closeness. Lord, my soul will cling to you. You're upholding me. And what a conversation it'll be, huh? And then we got George Herbert, a Christian pastor and poet, said, he just put his experience of prayer this way. He said, prayer is the church's banquet like a big feast. Like talking to your best loved one. It's the Christian sounding in heaven and on earth. That's a great perspective. And then I like this one. Prayer is reversed thunder. Okay, now regular thunder, boom, comes from heaven. When we pray, you know, sounds like God's like, I hear that. I hear that. This means a lot to me. Reverse thunder. And then there's peace, joy, love, and tears. Again, sometimes not so much words. It's heaven in the ordinary. It's being well-dressed, wearing that goodness of God. And Timothy Keller, he said, it's a nourishing friendship with God. And two great things about prayer in closing. One, in the Bible and in history, anytime a Christian as an individual or a group of Christians turned back to God, it was like a waking up of the saints, as was sung. Prayer was a part of that, seemed to be a part of that. I'm not going to say like it was the only thing and that was most important, but it really was in there as a part of it. So in your own soul, if you want to be restored or revived, and you want God's people to be, you could talk to God about that. That's so good. That's so important. And a prayer being a gift that we all can do, you can't say, you know, I would have prayed more, but those people kept me from praying. You know those people. They kept me from praying, those people. No, you didn't pray because you didn't want to pray. Or you prayed because you wanted to pray. And God says, yeah, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you pray. All kind of things about Him helping us, His Spirit, Jesus praying on our behalf. So the one really great thing, He revives us. The old timers said this. They said, the devil laughs at our plans, hoots at our knowledge. Hoot means like hoo, hoo, hoo. Hoots at our knowledge, but fears our prayers. Because when we pray, now we're focused. The good Savior is, He's going to do something good in our heart. And second great thing about prayer, almost everybody who ever became a Christian prayed to become a Christian. I was not a Christian. I said, Jesus, please come into my life. I don't know hardly anything about you. I want you to be in charge, and I need your forgiveness. Thank you, you're living. Or something like that. And God, you know, He's never turned anybody away who prayed that prayer. And so if you're here, you say, well, I want to turn to God. You could pray, Lord, the old song says, Lord, come into my heart. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And you'll follow Him all the way to heaven. Because He, once you meet Him, you want to. He gives you a big want to. So a wonderful gift of prayer. Be like King David. Grow in prayer and help each other out in the prayer time like that. Let's turn to God. Lord, thank You for this gift You give to all believers. Ones that are one day old. Maybe there's somebody here who say, well, God's been talking to me my whole life, but today I receive You, Jesus. And they'll follow You all the way to heaven. We won't have to ask whether they're a real Christian. It'll be so obvious that we'll just be happy for them. And then, Lord, thank You that prayer is a gift for the most veteran saint. They're still talking to You. They're still enjoying You, giving You thanks. You're sending them love, power, and grace every day. And it's the way it should be. Thank You for this gift of prayer. It's like every man's gift. Every man's gift. And so we're thankful Jesus opened the door for this. It's in His name we pray. Amen.